Blake and Kennedy in just a moment or two. Grant Napier, Doug Christie. We've got the Kings and the Timberwolves.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up tomorrow. Sacramento will look for three in a row. We got Thursday night football. Janoris Jenkins is out. He is inactive, so he will not be on the field. He's the Giants' best defensive back, or the best cornerback, I should say. Giants and Eagles, we'll get you out to the link at 5 o'clock. Tell you, while we wait for Lincoln, let's get Jimmy on. Hello, Jimmy. Welcome.
Hey, Grant. How's it going?
What's up, Jimmy?
We got the Raiders, Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, and Khalil Mack. They're all going to be looking for to be the highest paid player at their position. Which one do you think the Raiders might have to let go? Because it doesn't seem like it's going to be a viable option to keep all three.
I don't think they'll let anyone go. They'll figure it out. There's no way that one of those three players is going to be going anywhere. I can tell you flat out, Derek Carr and Khalil Mack are probably going to be there for their careers. And the other, what you said, who was the third? Cooper?
Amari Cooper.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. Don't worry about stuff like that, really. Seriously, if you're worrying about stuff like that right now, you're not fully enjoying what the Raiders are doing on the field. Worry about that stuff when it's time to worry about it. Don't worry about it now.
All right, what do you think might happen to the offensive line and the rest of the defense? You know, they've spent all that money this offseason, and look what it's done.
Am I hearing you correctly? Are you, like, calling up and bitching about stuff that's going on with the Raiders? Is that what you're doing? Like, you just asked me. Wait a minute. Now, I'm serious. Is that the conversation that we're having right now?
No, I'm just looking ahead for the future.
Well, you know what? Stop looking ahead at the future, because I've been doing this radio show for 21 stinking years, okay? Shouldn't say stinking. I actually love it. But the point I'm trying to make is, since 2003, all I've heard about is negativity, bitching, our team sucks, and now your team is one of the best teams, maybe the best team in the NFL, and you're worried about the future? Guess what? The future may never come. Enjoy today, my friend. All right, let's get to Link and Kennedy. Link, did I handle that okay for you?
Yeah, you said it just fine.
Hey, Lincoln, Merry Christmas, right?
Merry Christmas to you guys. Happy holidays, everybody out there as well.
Lincoln, I can't believe that. I get a guy, hey, gee, you know, how are they going to be able to keep Derek Carr, Khalil Mack, and Amari Cooper? Like, how are they going to? I'm like, dude, worry about that when you have to worry about it. Then he's talking about the money they spent here but not here. And I'm like, come on, would you please enjoy this season? Is that too much to ask, Lincoln?
It's not too much, but here's the great thing about the way they have it. I mean, you know, answered the salary cap question, because it always appears when you want to talk about the future of the team. Derek will probably be signed to a long-term contract at the end of this season, before he even gets in his final season. But the fact that they got him with a second-round pick means that, you know, he'll be able to get fair market value, but they won't have to worry about doing him and Khalil at the same time. They'll be able to keep Khalil an extra year. Because he was a first-round pick. So it's spaced out enough to where they can do it. They'll be able to keep their core intact if they want to.
And that is a good thing, because that is going to be the staple for them. Interesting chain of events in that San Diego game. I just want your take. The Raiders closed the half with a touchdown. First of all, how important is that? And then you come back and you score a field goal on your first possession in the second half. How do they look at that?
Well, I mean, look, you know, for the Raiders, the fact that they've had third quarter woes the entire season, for them to come out and do that, it shows you, first and foremost, good clock management and game management, the mm-hmm. fact that they were able to get a score and then be productive in the second half. but that's where this offense really sets itself apart than a lot of the offenses around the league, the fact that they can score and they can find a way to score. And here's the thing. Even when, you know, like, for example, Amari Cooper was pretty much taken out of the entire game, even when that happens, you still have other weapons in Crabtree, Latavius Murray, Jalen Richard, the list goes on and on. They got plenty of weapons to attack you, which means defenses are going to have their hands full preparing for them.
Link, I know that you experienced this as a player. Going down to San Diego, there were always a lot of Raider fans. The nation always showed up. But I got to tell you, what happened on Sunday to me, if there's a better example and illustration of a fan base saying, screw you to their ownership, and wow. I'm talking about the Spanos family, oh my goodness gracious. Have you ever seen anything like that?
Never. Never in my days. Look, we always, you know, laughed at the fact that, especially during our heyday when I was with the Raiders, we, you know, San Diego was like our ninth home game, you know, for
right.
the season, because we would have so many Raider fans. But that was the first time I had ever been at as a visitor at opposing stadium, and the offense got booed. The team got booed when they took the field. you never saw that. And guys, I did a little experiment while I was there. I actually, when I was on the sideline on a commercial, there was one time I said, okay, for every Charger fan I see, I'm going to count, see how many see Raider fans. And I swear, it was 9-1. I saw a Charger wow. jersey, and then the rest were Raider jerseys. Then a Charger jersey, rest were Raider jerseys. That's how it was. It was literally, they said they put 68,000 in there. I would tell you guys, by just glancing at it, probably 66,000 of them had to be Raider fans.
And that's why I don't have a problem if the Chargers move. I really don't. To me, and again, I understand the root of the problem, but it still doesn't change the fact. The city of San Diego has spoken. Whereas in Northern California with the Raiders, you know, I mean, the people that always get screwed are the fans, because the fans right. really are ultimately in this situation won't have a say on whether, you know, the Raiders stay in Oakland or not. But man, oh man, what a travesty it would be if this team left now. All right, I got off on a tangent. I'm sorry. Two games, you're right back to controlling your own destiny for having a bye in the first round and winning the division. So, I mean, gosh, can you imagine if somebody told you that, hey, with 2 weeks left, the Raiders would be in this position? Talk about, you know, this matchup against a team that also has to win in the Colts.
Well, there's nothing more dangerous than an animal backed up in a corner, right? Because they're going to come out fighting. And the same thing could be said about the Colts. The Raiders have still got their eye on the prize. And look, they've got plenty of work to do. All they've done is guarantee themselves a position in the playoffs. They haven't won home field advantage, and they still got a lot of work to do. And these next two games are going to be absolutely critical and to that team's success. Look, coming back after that Thursday night game, as cold and frigid it was in Kansas City, I was dreading the fact of having to go work for this team if we had to go somewhere like Pittsburgh or New England or something like that in the playoffs. So now I'm thankful that they have the control of their own destiny. More importantly, I'm happy for this franchise because it's been such a long drought to see them come out. Now they've got to go out and play like they're champions. There's so much more to do, and with football single elimination, you cannot let your guard down. So this team has surpassed all the expectations I had for them this season and then some. And more importantly, they found themselves in a good position by being in the playoffs and being one of the top tier seeds where they can work for a home field advantage.
It is 4:11 time for retirement checkup. Call David Hedger at Granite Bay Assessment Management. That's 791-1737 here with Lincoln Kennedy. Link, what particular things and does Andrew Luck pose against a Raiders defense that has been trending up with what people will see this weekend?
A mobile quarterback who's not afraid to use his athletic agility. More importantly, he's a strong-arm quarterback, and he's a smart one. Now, you know, he's one of those gunslinger types like an old Brett Favre, where he's not afraid to take chances.
Uh-huh.
He has a high touchdown ratio, but he also has a high interception ratio.
Right.
So it means that there are times he'll put the ball in compromising positions. But that being said, you've seen this defense, though it's playing better, you know, I still think our safeties play far too shallow. More importantly, you still see him giving up deep balls like he did, you know, last week in San Diego, something to be mindful of. And because this team is dangerous and they're looking for a playoff hunt as well, they're going to throw everything to the wall, because really, if they lose this one, they're done.
No question. You know, Lincoln, Doug and I were talking about this a day ago, and you certainly would be able to talk about this a hell of a lot more than we would. Two games left. If you win them both, you know that you get a bye week. You've been through this before. You know what it's like to have a week off. How much value do you put on having that week off if you can before you play in the playoffs?
Oh, boy, it's the equivalent of telling a fat kid he's going to have cake after dinner.
Oh, my God. That is an absolute classic.
Link, you are a beauty.
I'm just saying, you call it like it is. When you have your eye on the prize, there's things that you look for playoffs. You know, you always think about, well, you know, man, if we win this game, we get in the playoffs. Now you know you're in the playoffs. You should be looking forward to the fact that I would like to be home. And the thing is if you're one of the top two seeds, it doesn't take a brain scientist to know that you're on the inside tracks of getting to the Super Bowl, because you don't have to win three games. You only have to win two to be in the Super Bowl. And if you have home field advantage through it, then they're coming to see you, which is a double plus.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like I said, if you tell a fat kid he's going to have cake after dinner, that's exactly how the
Raiders should look. You're killing me. Yes. Hey, did I ever tell you the story, Link? I was doing I did the Canadian Football League for 2 years. I don't know if I ever told you this story, but I did the games with Jack Youngblood, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so the first game ever was in Sacramento, and we were playing Calgary, and Doug Flutie was the quarterback for the Calgary Stampeders, and it was in July, and it was like 106 degrees, and the kickoff was at 6 o'clock, which is the hottest time of the day in Sacramento.
Right.
And so we come on, we do our open on TV, We go to the break, and the national anthem was just finishing, and the Sac State Choir was singing. So the gals had long green gowns on, and the guys were singing the anthem in black tuxes. So we come back,
okay.
And Jack Youngblood goes, "Phew, man, is it hot up here?" And I said, "Jack, you know what? It could be worse. You could be on the field in a tux singing the national anthem." And he goes, "Grant, let me tell you something. I'm up here sweating like a fat girl." Okay, now Link, you know I'm not normally at a loss for words, Link. You know what I'm saying? But this is on live TV.
Go figure.
And I'm thinking, and so all I did was, folks, that's Youngblood with a Y. That's all I said.
Oh my goodness!
Very true.
Link, we go off the rails quite often here, as you well know.
I've been around Nate for a long time. I know that.
He's a doozy, man. Yeah. You know, Link, I can remember to my days when I played. We might go down and fudge one up on the offensive end, and you know, I'm saying to the team, I got it, and might get a good steal or a block or something. In the second quarter, Derek Carr throws a red zone interception, but interestingly enough, the defense gets a three and out. How important is that synergy between them to know, look, if you do mess up, we got your back?
Well, look at the development or the evolution of this team, if you will, Doug. The fact is that early in the season when the defense was really struggling, the offense had to carry the weight of the team.
Wow. They
had to score and had to score a lot of points.
That's right.
In order to beat teams. And now it's apparent that defense is playing progressively better. Khalil Mack is having an MVP caliber season. Last week, Bruce Irvin came on very strong, ended up being an AFC player, NFL player of the week. So these types of things are happening when your team is playing better. To have that type of synergy and that team chemistry, that means that even when nights are off, even when, like, for example, in the Kansas City game, the Raiders were in position to come back and win that. They weren't far out of it. It was not a blowout because the defense was doing their part. Kansas City didn't score after that punt return, and they didn't score an entire second half. So the Raiders, you know, offensively, it might have been a little bit of a letdown, but the defense was doing its part to keep it into it. And the same thing could be said about the special teams. So when you get playoff football, or you get any time this time of year, you want to have all three phases clicking as best as possible. And I think you've seen that.
Yeah.
Link, seven Raiders on their way to the Pro Bowl. And I'm curious, when you played, did they normally make that announcement in front of the whole team? How did that work when you played, when they announced the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, the first ones would get the announcement would be the team before it was leaked out to the press. Because the press, it was released to the press at a certain time. So during practice, they would come up and they say, you know, coaches would call call the players and let them know, these guys are always going to Hawaii, or these guys are alternates and stuff like that.
Latavius Murray fumbles one out of bounds and then fumbles one in the red zone. Do defenses begin to talk about really stripping a guy and going after his ball when they see stuff like that, Link?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, even the protocol once upon a time that Murray was running straight up, especially in the holes, early part of his career, guys like Eric Berry were trying to tattoo him with a shoulder pad and an elbow on his chin every time he came up, because they knew they would have that open target. It's definitely a key, and more importantly, it's something that now Latavius got to be mindful of, because every time he tries to spin and does his thing of getting extra yards, you're going to have people who are going to be more concerned with coming and trying to get the ball away than rather than get him down.
Yeah.
Well, Link, Raiders, Colts, big two holiday weekends back-to-back. Next week you're at Denver. So I could see, Link, you know, Christmas Eve, Raiders win, you know, get ready to head to the airport, but he's got to stop and have that victory cigar on Christmas Eve. You know, Link, I mean, that doesn't get any better than that, right?
It won't get any better. It's going to be a great one. Here's the thing. I won't be able to get out of there in time, so I'm going to have to fly home on Christmas Day.
Oh, but wow.
Then I got to get ready for the Peach Bowl. Because I'm going to go down on Wednesday and with the Pac-12 Network and get ready for the Peach Bowl.
That's awesome.
Alabama take on the dog. So, yep.
Who's playing in the Peach Bowl?
Yeah, no, if you heard about it, it was Alabama, it's Team Alabama, and the Dogs, Washington Huskies.
Yeah. I love
lay it on the Dogs, double digits, lay it.
I love just messing with him. You're an absolute beauty. Link, any injury concerns as we sit here and talk on this Thursday? Any guys that you have heard that are on the bubble?
No. Everything, they're really mum's the word. They won't really release anything until it gets close up to game time. Del Rio staff is notorious for doing that. But the thing that I'm most concerned about, or what they, my biggest concern they need to address, is a short yardage goal line situation. I've said all along, they cannot run. It just throws off the timing. You're trying to run this stuff out of the pistol, especially in the goal line, because the NFL caliber athlete is just too good. You cannot sustain the blocks for that long goal line and short yard situation.
Link,
so they've got to do something.
You talked about maybe having the backup quarterback come in and do that, but
yeah.
is it too much of a too much information for the defense to know, or is he capable of maybe making a nice little pass to the end zone in the flat?
McGloin has passed in the back. He's been the starting quarterback before they got Derek Carr. I mean,
okay.
So he could play. My thing is this, is that, you know, everyone sits there and says, well, the defense is going to kill it. So what? When people run the wildcat, you know the guy who's back there with two gloves on isn't going to try to throw the football. He's
right.
Going to run the ball.
Two gloves.
So who cares if they know? The thing is that if you trust, I always believe, if you trust your offensive line and you trust them with your quarterback's life, you don't want to put your quarterback under center because he's hurt himself. I understand that. Bring in somebody who can take the snap under center and run a short yardage offense. Who cares if the defense knows that it's a run or knows where it's going? Hell, I was confident at times in my career, Doug, where I can come up to the line. We're running 14 blasts right here. Stop it. And you got that sort of moxie about you.
Yeah,
it's
gotta
be up to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, Link, you know, back to Washington and Alabama for a moment before we let you go.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think's the biggest challenge facing Washington, and how important is the first 10 minutes or so? I would think these guys, let's face it, they know what they're going up against. Stay in the game early. Don't get behind real early. But what do you see are the biggest challenges facing the Dogs?
This offensive line standing in the court, holding its own against this front seven. There's no doubt that Alabama's front seven is the best front seven in college football. Matter of fact, the entire front seven might be going into the first round of the NFL draft.
That's unbelievable.
That is crazy.
I mean, it's like that. I've seen this offensive line stand up to just about every challenge they had this year and impress me. The only one they dropped against SC. They're going to have to play their absolute best football. And especially the center and the two guards, the interior of this offensive line is going to have to stand up because Allen is a beast, and more importantly, their linebackers are beasts, so they like to run this cross dog in the A-gap, which is really hard to pick up if you're not on your P's and Q's. And more importantly, this is going to be like a home game for Alabama. It can be considered an intimidating atmosphere for Washington, especially traveling that far. So
that's a good point.
Keep their mind and play their absolute best football. But I'm telling everybody, lay it. Lay the line, lay the spread, go with it, lay it.
Yeah, and you know what? They got a perfect coach for this. Chris Peterson knows what it's like to take a school like Boise State, a dog, go into, you know, these huge games.
Like
and
Oklahoma.
It's exactly right. And so, you know, I know one thing, you know, he's going to have this team prepared. That part I know. I mean, I don't think they're going to be the unknowns. I think that Coach Peterson's got these guys. I'm not saying Washington's going to win, but I can't imagine not being completely aware and prepared for what they're facing.
Hey, look, I get it. Alabama's the best team in the country. There's no doubt about it. But there are often times where you have a no-name, and we saw it. You talk about Coach Pete. Remember that Oklahoma-Boise State game?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Instances like that happen. The thing is that I think Washington – can have somewhat of an advantage. The fact is because this long wait, this long pause, and the Alabama offense isn't as prolific as people think it is, or they know it's not prolific. It's the defense and the special teams you got to not let beat you.
I haven't even looked at the number. What is the number on the game?
14.5, the last thing I count, last time I counted.
Huh. All right.
Wow. You say lay it.
Lay
huh?
it.
Link. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Yeah, man.
Merry Christmas to you too, brothers, and all your listeners out there. Happy holidays. And everybody, please be safe on the road. Do not drink and drive.
There you go.
Amen to that. Thank you, Lincoln. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good stuff right there with Lincoln Kennedy. If you want to call the show, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. What time is it, Doug?
It is now 4:23. Time for a retirement check update. Call David Hedger at Granite Bay Asset Management Group. That is 791-1737.
Also, coming up in about 20 minutes, I will have the Christmas rant that I did a couple of years ago that people have been clamoring for. So I'll tell you what, you know, I'm not one to disappoint our great listeners. And so at 4:45,
ho,
yes,
ho,
indeed.
Ho.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, don't forget Jim Rome's coming to Sacktown. He'll be doing a show at the KHTK Studios on the Wingstop Soundstage on Friday, January 6th from 9 a.m. to noon. Jim wants to be a part of your show, too, wants you to be part of his show, I should say. And all you have to do is go to KHTK Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages, send us a direct message that you'd like to attend, and we'll get back to you with all the info. Also, Wingstop will provide lunch for everyone in attendance. You'll have pictures, autographs after the show. He'll also be at Golden One Center that evening. Go to KHTK Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram pages, or for more information, khtk.com right now. All right, if you want to get in on the program, the numbers 339-1140, 800-920-1140. How about Link, the analogy?
He caught me off guard
with the fat kid getting cake for dessert. I mean, what is wrong with him, man?
You know, I think Link looked back, and Link's a big man.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he might have been thinking about some chocolate cake, and he's like, man, you know what? I've never been
Link
as happy
is a big
as,
man.
Yes, he is, man. Can you imagine looking across, and it's cold, and that guy is just, he's protecting that quarterback, and he's breathing down. Whoo! Link's a big man.
Oh, no. Right tackle. And
goodness.
He was great.
Yes,
love Lincoln Kennedy. All right. We will have Thursday Night Football.
I know you're happy about that.
Oh, I'm very happy about that.
You excited? You ready to go?
Wait till you see when I'm done here how fast I run out of the studio to make sure I'm set and ready to go.
You know, they said Collins, the bruise on his back is just,
Jenkins.
Yeah, is just nasty.
Is it?
Yeah, and that is going to be what decides if he plays. Really,
pain he's
tolerance.
Not playing. He's out. He went out onto the field. He actually was moving pretty well. But here's what I think. You if you're the New York Giants, you're not winning in the playoffs without your Norris Jenkins.
That's
you
right.
Now have 10 days off.
Yep.
Now, if this game were on Sunday, there's no doubt in my mind he would play based on what I'm hearing. But it's not. It's tonight.
Right.
And I think they're doing the prudent thing here. If you're not sure, here's your best corner. He takes the best receiver out of the game. We've seen it this year. Save him, man. Give him now 2 weeks.
Yep.
All right? Give him the full 2 weeks before he has to play again.
Very, very smart move because you're right. You're not going to win in the playoffs without him. He's going to have enough time. And if it was possible for him to play, if this was a playoffs, he probably would. And, like, if it was Sunday, he probably would. You know he'll be ready next game.
You guys, for your holiday meal at the Christie's, you don't have wabbit at all, do you?
No wabbit. We will have turkey.
All right.
You know, all the rest of the – no rabbit. Wabbit. But when I do make wabbit stew, I will bring some.
You do
some.
Make wabbit stew?
No, I don't, but I will make some for
I'm not
you
having
and
it.
Star.
Star will definitely not have it.
Tell her it's tasty.
Star, you know what? Well, actually, she may. I don't even know. But Mr. Napier will not be partaking in that. I can guarantee you that. It's not happening.
Hey, well, you know, your Christmas gift is coming.
I'll tell you, if it's green, leave it in the damn package.
It might be blue.
If it's not New York Giant blue, I don't want to see
not,
it.
Okay, I'll take that one.
All right,
back
we'll come right back. This is Grant Napier and Doug Christie on Sports 1140. Hey, don't forget the Christmas rant.
Oh yeah,
is coming up in a little bit. Next segment, and then we've got Thursday Night Football. The Giants are in Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. Doug and I will be doing a real quick show tomorrow from the Target Center for the Kings and the Timberwolves, and I'm really looking forward to seeing Karl Anthony Towns play, Doug. He's in his second year, and he's got a chance to be great.
Well, they just beat Atlanta on the road, which Atlanta isn't playing particularly well, but going on the road, that's a big win. 17 points, 18 rebounds, and 5 assists for young Karl Anthony Towns, and he matched up with Andrew Wiggins and Zach LaVine has been that threesome. They are growing. It hasn't translated to wins yet, but young Cat is, man, he does it in every single column, and it's going to be really interesting. Always when the Kentucky Ties go against each other, it's fun to watch.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Let's get to Rob. Hello, Rob.
Hey, how you doing, Grant, Doug?
What's up?
Hey.
I've got a comment and a question. I always want to go back to Lincoln Kennedy's comments about the Raiders, and also about a caller that was had interesting comments about a day or two ago. I believe he was talking about team hard to beat one team three times in 1 year, and Raiders are clicking at the right time right now, and defense is starting to click. You think that's the recipe for us to have a pretty good chance to go deep in the playoffs?
I don't buy the three-team thing. I never have. I just think that sounds good. I've never bought into that. Here's the deal. If the Raiders win their next two games, they're the number one or two seed. They're going to have a bye. And guess what? They're going to be really difficult to beat. The only team that I would not really be comfortable with, and I'm not saying they couldn't beat them, but I wouldn't like their chances, is if they have to go to Foxborough for an AFC championship game.
Yeah, correct. And then one more thing also as well, the Alden Smith issue. We're waiting on his reinstatement. You think Goodell could drag this out to a playoff or possibly not even let him play?
I wouldn't count on Alden Smith being a factor at all for the Raiders this year. I don't think the average, and I hate using the term average, but I don't think the sports fan understands what it takes to be a professional athlete. And if you're not doing it, there's no way you can be a sharp. It's the same thing with Tony Romo. You know, if Tony Romo takes over for Dak Prescott, it's going to take him a couple weeks to beat Tony Romo. Alden Smith has not played football in ages. He's not Superman. He's just not going to be able to walk on the field and be that effective.
All right, gotcha. Thank you, Grant.
And I would say this also. There are 2 weeks left to go in the regular season. I would believe that if he were going to be reinstated, he would be reinstated already.
Already, yeah. You're right, Grant. You know, interesting. This could be the year that the Raiders kind of tease you. I heard Deion say this, Deion Sanders, tease you before they please you, meaning that if you do face a Kansas City team for the third time, and let's say they don't win, all of a sudden, that's going to be that thing for this team that they need to get over to say to themselves, we've arrived and we can really do this. That may be what they have to go through.
And here's the other deal. If they do play Kansas City again, and that's if,
yep,
they would much rather have it in Oakland. They don't want to go where it's going to be 0 degrees and deal with that again, even though they turned, you know, they got three turnovers and they couldn't capitalize. But that's a long ways off.
Yes, it is.
They may not even play Kansas City in the playoffs.
Yeah. Might play Pittsburgh.
They could, absolutely.
And that's a tough one, too.
Yes, it is.
I mean, they kind of mirror each other a little
bit. The experience of Pittsburgh would make me a little nervous.
You go against Ben Roethlisberger, and they have a chance.
Le'Veon Bell.
Oof, man.
Antonio Brown.
You can keep on naming them if you like,
yeah.
Or you can stop there.
Right. And again, I'm not saying the Raiders couldn't beat Pittsburgh,
right.
But I think you're just letting fans know that, hey, you know what? But I know this, it's a lot easier to win two games than it is three games.
Yeah.
And if they win two games this week and then next week in Denver, they don't have to worry about winning three games to get to the Super Bowl. They got to win two games, and I'll take that path anytime I can get it.
You know, Grant, looking at the Broncos, do you think they still have an outside chance so that last game is really, really going to mean something in Denver?
I don't think so. I don't see them winning at Kansas City this week.
Yeah, that'll be a because Kansas City, the fact that they've had a letdown, it won't be now. So if they do beat Kansas City, that last one against the Raiders was going to mean a lot.
Yes, it is. It is absolutely going to mean a lot. All right, if you want to still get in, you have a moment or two before we get to the break. And again, the Christmas rant is coming up next.
Oh,
and
boy.
Then, again, Doug and I will be at the Target Center tomorrow for a very quick show because we've got Kings basketball. Then they'll fly home, and they'll have a couple days off before they take on Philadelphia. And here's the other deal. You know, if, and I'm putting it out there, if, because we've been down this road many times before, if Sacramento can figure out a way to win tomorrow, you know what? They got a chance to get on a little bit of a roll here because they got Philadelphia, then they're at Portland again.
Well, a lot of the hard stuff in the season, I won't say a lot, but it's just, you know, it's not an excuse, but the season and the scheduling hasn't been in the Kings' favor. So if you can come out of this right now, and we've said it, Grant, if you can be hovering around this 500 mark and you get to the All-Star break, now we can really start talking. But making up some headway, winning the games you're supposed to win, like this one tomorrow, will be very important for the Kings.
Yeah, it sure will. But again, Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, as Doug said, coming off a road win in Atlanta. We'll see. You know, listen, Minnesota had a big lead on Sacramento, and the Kings came roaring back to win that game at Golden 1 Center earlier in the year. I think Tom Thibodeau expected his team to be better than they are right now, but it's a process. New coach, new system. He's, you know, again, very The players, I think, take a while to get used to a coach like this. They seem to be playing a little better.
It's going to take a second in Tom Thibodeau's system. They're going to have to understand how this goes. It's 6:43, time for a retirement checkup. Call David Hedger at Granite Bay Asset Management Group. That is 791-1737.
When we come back, the Christmas rant. How many times in the last 2 weeks has someone asked you, hey, are you ready for Christmas? Why the hell would I be ready for Christmas? I mean, really? Would someone out there please call up or let me know, why would I be ready for Christmas? It's December 16th, for crying out loud. This has been going on for 2 weeks. It's December 5th. Hey, you ready for Christmas? No. I'm still eating leftovers from Thanksgiving. I'm not ready for Christmas. It's unbelievable. Doesn't matter where you go. Hey, you ready for Christmas? No. Go to somewhere else. You're at the store. Thank you very much. You buy your groceries. The guy putting the groceries in the bag. Hey, you ready for Christmas? Hell no, I'm not ready for Christmas. Why would I be ready for Christmas? I'm a guy. You know, seriously, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Are you ready for Christmas? Really? Who out there is ready for Christmas? I mean, is anybody out there thinking about anything other than football this weekend? Christmas is what? When is Christmas anyway? It's a week from Sunday, right? That's a week from Sunday. Hey, Grant, are you ready for Christmas? Or if they don't know me or whatever, hey, are you ready for Christmas? Really? Let me ask you a question. Do you call up your buddies? Hey, are you ready for Christmas? Like if you pass someone down the hallway that you're one of your coworkers. Hey, Bill, are you ready for Christmas? That question would be appropriate for me if it's December 23rd or December 24th. Hey, Grant, are you ready for Christmas? Actually, it's tomorrow. Yeah, I actually am. Barely. I'm going shopping right now. 3 o'clock Christmas Eve. Grant, are you ready for Christmas? I'm at the store Christmas Eve, 3 o'clock. Are you ready for Christmas? Obviously no, or I wouldn't be here right now. If I was ready for Christmas, I wouldn't be in your store buying this gift. It's unbelievable. It really is incredible. Hey, let me ask Chris across the glass. Hey, Chris, are you ready for Christmas? Not yet, thank you. I'm getting you a Yankee hat, too. I'm sick and tired of looking at that Boston Red Sox hat every damn day of my life. It gives me freaking nightmares. It's awful. Either that or I'm going to get a curtain for the glass so I don't have to see you. There's nothing worse than coming to work and looking across at somebody that's wearing a Red Sox hat. I'd rather see a pile of dog dew on your head than a Red Sox hat. That is disgusting. Hey, Grant, 2 weeks ago. Sir, you ready for Christmas? Really? I'll tell you when I'm ready for Christmas. I'm like you and most other people. I'm ready for Christmas pretty much when I wake up on December 25th. That's when I'm ready for Christmas. I'm not ready for Christmas on December 16th. I'm sure as hell not ready for Christmas on December 5th. I'm not ready for Christmas when it's before Thanksgiving and I see lights going up everywhere and I walk into a store and there's holiday stuff everywhere. I'm not ready for that either. Hey, Grant. You ready for Christmas? I'm not even going to any more stores until December 24th because I don't want to be asked the question. You know, and people are trying to be polite. Dentist appointment. Hey, how are you? Good. I'm here for my 1 o'clock appointment. You ready for Christmas? Really? How about asking me if I think the Giants are going to beat the Redskins on Sunday? Why don't you make my life enjoyable? I mean, what am I going to say? Am I ready for... No, I'm not. I just say no. I don't ask them, are you ready? Because I don't care. Get ready when you get ready. But I think I speak for most guys. We're not ready for Christmas until we have to be ready. Now, there might be a few of you out there, oh, Grant, you know, I've been ready for 2 weeks. Well, guess what? You're abnormal. All right? If you've been ready for Christmas for 2 weeks, you're a dork. Either that or you got absolutely nothing to do in your life.
or you got something that was so much on sale that you liked and it was right in front of you, so you said, you know, I'm going to get that. How long is it going to be before somebody asks me, hey, Grant, you ready for Memorial Day weekend? Yeah, I am, actually, because I don't have to work that Monday. Hey, Grant, don't ask me. No, I'm not. So I think what I'm going to do, just to tick everybody off, every time someone calls, I'm going to go, hey, Mark, you ready for Christmas? What about you, Rich? Thanks for calling the show. I know it's December 16th, but are you ready for Christmas? I got Reggie on hold, who I'll be getting to in a moment. Hey, Reg, I know it's only the 16th, but are you ready for Christmas? What is that? What kind of, what is, everywhere you go, people have to ask you if you're ready for Christmas. No, I'm not. Leave me alone. Stop it already. Leave me alone. I want to go to the store without being harassed. They're trying to be nice. They want your business. I don't go to that store anymore because I don't like the question. So I stopped going to that store. I go to a different store now. I want to go to a store where on December 5th, they don't ask me if I'm ready for Christmas. No, I'm not ready because I'm a guy. And we don't get ready for Christmas until we have to. Like, you know, with a few days, I'll give you the 22nd on, the 23rd, the 24th. But don't be hassling me. So that's my new motto from here on in. For the rest of the week, starting on Monday. Hey, Joe, thanks for calling the show. You ready for Christmas? And that's my rant for today.